Members, we will call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order. We are here this afternoon to have what we call an informational hearing on the idea of Sunday liquor sales. We do not have a bill in front of us. We are not going to move a bill today, but we have Representative Loon with us, who's also a committee member, and she is the author of a couple of bills. And the intent here today is to talk about the issue, pro and con, and do as much as we can to fully vet the issue in the time allotted us. So with that, we'll jump right into it, and Representative Loon will let you get started.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Well, I think you've laid it out very well. This is an informational hearing. As members probably know, I've been a sponsor of legislation to change our ban on Sunday liquor sales in a number of different ways for the past few years. And I'm just very pleased that we'll have an opportunity today to just hear testimony and comments from both sides of the issue, and I think it'll be very informative for members. So two bills that I'm sponsoring this session, which are the subject of today's hearing. The first is House Bill 231, and that simply removes the word Sunday from our current statute, which basically delineates the fact that no liquor can be sold, off-sale liquor, on Sundays. And then the second bill is House File 1239, which would allow municipalities, so local governments, to make the determination as to whether or not off-sale liquor could be authorized for sale in their jurisdiction. So two different approaches to the issue. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to open it up for testifiers.
Representative Loon, if you want to have your first testifier, come on down. That would be great. And while you're doing that, if you could move approval of the minutes from our last meeting. We are now officially legal. We have a quorum.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move approval of the March 25th minutes.
Members, any questions, comments, concerns, changes, judgments on the minutes from the last meeting? Seeing none, those in favor of the approval of those minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Thank you, Representative Loon and Representative Lilly. With that, Representative Loon, we'll go ahead with Mr. David Erickson. That's all right with you?
Well, Mr. Chair, he was flying in, and he's on his way, but okay. We may have him go a little bit later in the lineup just as he's on his way to the building.
Okay. Well, whoever you want to have go first is fine. And
would you like them to come up in groups or
whatever you think is easier? We're going to try to limit it to about 30 minutes to each side, and then we have a few amendments and member questions, and if we have more time, we'll get more people up. We're just trying to keep it as slow or as short as we can so we get everybody that's here a chance to say something. If you want to go ahead, identify yourself for the record and please proceed.
Mr. Chair, my name is Troy Wing. I'm a liquor store manager. And
Mr. Wing, welcome to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. I support Representative Loon's bills to allow Sunday alcohol sales. I believe there's more support for repealing this ban than we can see in this room. At our store, we have many part-time employees, and like all part-time employees, they struggle to find enough hours to earn a livable wage. Allowing us to open on Sundays would provide some economic benefit through increased wages. Additionally, I've asked several of my customers about this issue, and every single one of them supports repealing this ban. I've heard comments such as it's a stupid law, and I've heard comments such as why do we even have this law? Which, to be honest with you, I couldn't answer because I don't even know why this law exists. On one occasion, I had a customer in my store talking to another customer and said, every time I come to this store, the store is closed. Mr. Chair, we are open every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. as allowable by law. Mr. Chair, there is simply not a solid believable argument for keeping this law on the books. It will not lead to increased operating costs in a store. It will not lead to unfair competitive practices, and it certainly will not lead to big boxes putting everybody out of business. If they could do that, it would have already happened in this industry. The fact is, this industry has changed dramatically over the past decade. It is a specialty industry that requires a store to have product knowledge and sell products to customers. 10 years ago, everybody bought a handful of different products from these kinds of stores. Today, our store has over 500 different kinds of beer in it. Our customers rely on our staff's expertise to help them pick the products that are right for them. I certainly don't see this happening in big box stores anytime soon. Mr. Chair, I thank you for letting me speak here today.
Thank you, Mr. Wing. Nice job. Sir, if you want to identify yourself, either microphone is fine. Just identify yourself for the tape and start when you're ready.
Mr. Chair, my name is Louis Dachis. I operate a craft beer and whiskey boutique in Hopkins, Minnesota called Ace Spirits. I've been coming here for years, and we've been talking about the same thing, and it's crazy to think that we're closer to removing Iran's nuclear capability than we are to approving Sunday sales in Minnesota.
I think we all agree on that.
I don't think so.
I think we're discussing the wrong things here, though. I'm not quite sure if we're talking about protecting the observation of the Sabbath, in which case we should force Jewish operators to close on Friday at sundown. It seems that blue laws really have no place in modern society. Are we talking about spreading 5 days of business over six? And again, I'm not really sure if that's our job here, to make sure that, you know, businesses make the right decisions for themselves. I'm currently able to be open 80 hours a week. I choose to be open 68. Others stay open the full 80, like the gentleman just before me. When I converted to LED or I decided to focus solely on whiskey as a business model, the government wasn't involved in those decisions. And we shouldn't be here. Are we making the Teamsters work on Sunday? I've been operating for 10 years and have yet to get a Saturday delivery. We're not asking the Teamsters to deliver on Sundays. This is a non-issue. We're talking about the wrong things here. The discussion is not centering around public safety. We're literally forcing people to drive to bars or across the border. We're talking about maintaining a law that over 60% of your constituents oppose, to either legislate my day off or mandate observance of the Christian Sabbath. I represent a large number of retail store owners that are either unable or afraid to come forward. We ask that you allow us the choice to service our customers on this important shopping day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dacus. Nice job. Next, please identify yourself for the record. Start when you're ready. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jason Alvey. I'm the owner and founder of the Four Firkins Specialty Beer Store, St. Louis Park. I support Representative Loon's bill to allow Sunday alcohol sales. We've got a lot of people in this room today who've given up their time to come and show their support for these bills. These people who are here represent dozens, if not hundreds, who would like to be here but are busy working, paying taxes. These people also represent the majority of us who can't afford to hire lobbyists. Just like my fellow liquor store owners here, I've yet to hear a legitimate argument for not repealing this old restriction. They've covered a lot of it, so I won't give you my whole list here. But I will comment on, you know, a lot of people bring up the grocery store situation. Just to reinforce that, we all know that's not going to happen. That's a separate state law. Beer and wine is not going to automatically end up in the aisles at the grocery stores. I'm all for allowing local breweries being able to sell growlers on a Sunday, just like the local wineries have been able to sell us a bottle of wine on a Sunday for decades now. But that doesn't help my customers. Every Sunday we're losing real money across our borders, real tax revenue. We know it's a large amount of money because we know that Wisconsin beer distributors support the ban financially. I urge you to listen to the people who have shown up today, and fully repeal the Sunday sales ban in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alvey. Nice job. Sir, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Brian Loudenbach. I'm the Vice President of JM Companies, and I am in support of Representative Loon's bills to allow Sunday alcohol sales. JM Companies is based in St. Cloud, and we own and operate 22 convenience stores along with four off-sale liquor stores. Those four stores are located in the towns of St. Cloud, Pequot Lakes, Foley, and St. Joseph. We are in support of repealing the prohibition on Sunday liquor sales for several reasons, which I'll cover now, and then I am willing to take questions. Each one of our liquor stores has its own fixed overhead expenses, things such as rent, utilities, payroll, advertising, and inventory holding costs. All of these fixed expenses are there regardless if we are open for business 6 days a week or seven. The only expenditure that could increase slightly for me if we were to open an extra day is my payroll. That extra day of payroll is relatively nominal, however, and for some employees, it could make the difference between full-time and part-time employment. I'm really not saving any money on expenses being forced to keep my stores closed on Sundays. The small amount I would spend on payroll would certainly be offset by the extra day's sales. In fact, in some of my stores, I already have an employee working on Sundays to stock and face shelves and prepare the next week's orders. For those stores, I wouldn't incur any added costs. In any case, it would be nice if the decision to stay open or closed on Sundays was up to the store owner and not the government. If allowed, I would certainly keep our four stores open for business on Sundays, as those sales would help offset our overhead expenditures. I consider JM Companies fortunate that our stores are located in central Minnesota versus close to a neighboring state. I can only imagine how badly this hurts the retailers on the state lines. It is also apparent that if given one extra day of sales per week, the state of Minnesota would certainly see the tax contributions increase from both private and municipal liquor operations. That's just common sense. My customers are asking for this. Your constituents are asking for this. Whether it is a retired farmer who wants a cold six-pack or a busy working mom that enjoys wine, Minnesotans are tired of living with this prohibition-era law. They want to shop on Sundays. Why don't we let them?
Thank you, Mr. Laudenbach.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, my name is Katrina Carter. I am a consumer and owner of a small company. I am speaking in support of Representative Loon's bills to allow Sunday alcohol sales. The main reason I support these bills is because, as a business owner, I believe it is a free market issue. I don't want the government to tell me when I should open. But as a business owner, I should be able to decide if I want to do business on any particular day. Nothing in this legislation would force any store owner to open. The second reason is all about consumer convenience. Saturdays and Sundays are when people shop the most. It certainly is true for my friends and me. Wouldn't a business want to serve their customers on the days that they shop? In my opinion, this law is very outdated. Business is going to North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and even Canada. I travel to Wisconsin in the summer and appreciate that they allow Sunday alcohol sales. It's good for tourism, generating revenue, and it's good for the consumer. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job. Welcome to the committee.
Hello, Mr. Chair. My name is Christy Eldersuzik, and I'm a working mother of two children, ages 1 and 4. As a busy mom, I work Monday through Friday and spend weeknight evenings making dinner, reading, playing with my kids, and putting them to bed. Hauling your children around in the car seats with the buckling and unbuckling is a time-consuming chore, and also just taking them out is a chore, so we leave almost all of our shopping for the weekend. My husband stays home on weekends and watches the kids while I run the errands. In reality, the way our schedule is, we buy most items, retail items, on Sunday. Why is it not legal to buy alcohol on Sundays? It doesn't make sense. Aren't businesses there to provide a service and convenience to consumers? Minnesota is one of the states with the highest number of dual-income families, which also means that there's more daycare for the children. This makes it an even bigger issue for Minnesota moms and dads. I'm no different than the many working parents who feel that the legislature should pass laws that work for us. Saturday and Sunday are the busiest retail days of the week. There are many moms and dads who can't be here today because they're working. We ask that you please support these bills and get rid of this antiquated law that bans Sunday alcohol sales. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Walter Hudson. I'm a newly elected city council member from Albertville.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And acting chair of the Republican Liberty Caucus of Minnesota. And I'm here to speak in support of Representative Loon's bills to allow Sunday alcohol sales. This is an issue that I've been following for some time, and I've become familiar with the arguments on both sides. And I believe that there's a temptation to overcomplicate the issue, to attempt to portray it as a delicate balance of equally valid competing interests. But in reality, this issue's very straightforward. Put simply, you either believe that individuals own their own lives and properly ought to be able to apply their own judgment to matters both grand and trivial, or you don't. You either believe that individuals should be free to determine for themselves whether or not it makes sense to them to engage in commerce on a particular day of the week, or you don't. This is about liberty, period. And those of us who believe in the principle of individual rights regard this issue as a litmus test for determining whether or not our representatives share that value. We're paying attention, and we're taking note. And we regard action on this issue as a clear indicator of whether or not you believe that our lives belong to us, or whether you believe our lives belong to you. It's my understanding that there's a number of amendments that are potentially being offered to this bill, and as a newly elected city council person, I recognize that often amendments are offered in an attempt to conflate relatively simple, straightforward issues. I hope that's not the case here. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Nice job. Mr. Schmidt, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman, House Commerce Committee members. My name is Andrew Schmidt. I'm the director of the Minnesota Beer Activists and member of the Sunday Sales Minnesota Coalition. I'm here to testify today in support of Representative Loon's bills to ease the restrictions on Sunday liquor sales in Minnesota. Close to 6,000 Minnesotans have signed the petition to repeal the ban on Sunday sales in Minnesota via our coalition website at sundaysalesmn.org. You've undoubtedly heard from these constituents of yours. Minnesotans from every House and Senate district have signed the petitions and have emailed their views to you. Contrary to what I'm sure we will hear today, Sunday sales will not lead to the collapse of the three-tier system. It will not mean wine and grocery stores. It will not put small independent stores out of business. These bills have been mislabeled as controversial, while in reality, Minnesotans of all ages on both sides of the political aisles support repealing this ban. There really is no controversy, and I would ask that you support repealing the ban on Sunday liquor sales and support your constituents and do the right thing. Support repealing the ban. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, committee, my name is David Osgo, and I'm with the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States. I'd like to thank you for having me here. The Distilled Spirits Council represents around 65% of all of the distilled products sold here in the U.S. Our membership includes both the large national and international distillers, as well as over 100 of the small distillers that have come into the business in the last 10 years. For the last 15 years, DISCUS has been advocating for Sunday sales of beverage alcohol in those states that do not allow it. Some 16 states since 2002 have begun allowing sales on Sundays. Sunday sales, quite frankly, have become the norm. There are 38 states today that allow the sale of distilled spirits, beer, and wine on Sundays. So why have we gone to such great efforts? The business case for Sunday sales is simple and compelling. Depending upon which survey you look at, Sunday is either the busiest or the second busiest shopping day of the week. To state the obvious, this is no longer 1960. The two-income earner family is the norm. Saturdays are already very, very hectic for many of us. If a product cannot be bought on Sunday, there's a good chance it's not going to be purchased at all. Or, worse yet, for a lot of Minnesota businesses, it will be purchased in bordering states. From a consumer's perspective, Sunday sales are all about convenience. For retailers, Sunday openings automatically increase capacity by 17% without any additional capital cost. Store rent is already being paid. The inventory is already on the shelves. From an store owner's perspective, Sunday sales are about customer service. The experience of other states that have recently passed Sunday sales has been overwhelmingly positive. Let me allow some of the package store owners and state administrators to speak for themselves. In Colorado, Sunday sales were passed in 2008 during tough economic times. Jenny McCoy, president of the Colorado Licensed Beverage Association, stated that even in terrible economic conditions, Sunday alcohol sales have turned out to be a huge success for both retailers and the state treasury. At a time when nationwide beverage alcohol taxes were tax collections were going up by 1.5 to 2 percentage points, Colorado saw a 6% increase. In Oregon, a survey of package store owners showed that stores opened on Sundays increased revenues by between 7.6 and 19.6%. Debbie Burke, who was then the secretary of the Oregon Liquor Store Association, noted, Those choosing to be open on Sundays had considerable success without taking sales away from previous normal business days. In Connecticut, the Connecticut Department of Revenue Commissioner reported a 5% increase over what they would have expected in tax collections, and he noted the overall results were positive. Now, for those of you who have dealt with revenue commissioners, you'll know that getting something as effusive as positive out of them is quite an accomplishment. Finally, in Pennsylvania, the Liquor Control Board chairman noted, "Our numbers show no cannibalization." Very often people claim that opening on Sundays is only going to spread 6 days of sales across 7 days. Well, that simply has not been the case in those states that have passed Sunday sales. Typically, what we have seen is an initial tax lift of about 4 to 7% after the state implements Sunday sales. Now, of great interest here in Minnesota should be the experience of the control states. Control states are those states that in which the state acts as either the wholesaler or the wholesaler and retailer, very similar to the municipal liquor stores you have here in Minnesota. Like the munis, many of the control states were initially skeptical of Sunday sales. However, in each state, after a period of initial experimentation, the administrators actually came back to us and asked for our help in expanding Sunday sales. Typically, you needed special legislation. Now, think about this. None of the men or women that operate the control state stores have any financial incentive for more sales. They don't have an equity stake. They're not paid bonuses. But the case for Sunday sales was so compelling that they asked for our help in expanding Sunday sales because of the added revenue they knew it would bring to their states. In Minnesota, we project that Sunday openings would generate between $82 and about $115 million in new retail sales and generate $11 to $15 million in new state taxes. I know the previous fiscal notes projected little or no increased revenue. This was because the analyst assumed that any increased store sales in package stores would be offset by lost sales in bars and restaurants. But that simply has not been the experience in other states. Ultimately, Sunday sales are about giving package store owners more flexibility to serve their customers. No one is forced to open on Sundays. As to whether or not a store opens on Sundays is just another business decision. It's no different than from what products to stock or from how to price the bottles on your shelf. In states that have recently passed Sunday sales, there has been no pattern of store closings and no increase in alcohol abuse. Sunday sales are simply about giving business owners the opportunity to serve their customers.
Well said. Thank you, Mr. Osgo.
Thank you.
We got one more, Representative Lilly, or do you want to ask specifically for this?
Well, Mr. Chair, I didn't know if you wanted us to ask questions. It appears you just want to kind of go through testimony. I really wanted to ask the guy about the Liberty Caucus because I thought Representative Kahn and Franson were the chairs of that, so I was a little confused. But
that's our Liberty Caucus.
Oh, yeah. But we're just going to hear testimony and then
we can ask in a minute. We've got one more testifier, and then I think we have a few extra minutes. If there's anybody else that wants to come down and speak in favor of it, I assume you're Mr. Erickson.
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. We knew you were coming, and we were going to break in and let you testify. We appreciate you coming down. Identify yourself for the record and start when you're ready.
Okay. I have a handout if a page could.
Sure.
Thank you. My name is Dave Erickson. I own and operate a family-owned bar and liquor store in Tower, Minnesota. As most of you probably know, that's located on beautiful Lake Vermilion. And this is a frustrating issue for me. I came in halfway through his testimony, but I acknowledge what he's saying about how frustrating it is for us to be a bar and be open on Sunday and just have these thousands and thousands of tourists come to northern Minnesota to visit our beautiful lakes, the mine, the Sedan Mine, the Lake Vermilion State Park, Fortune Bay Resort and Casino, and all the events out there. And they come into the liquor, into the bar on Sunday thinking that they're going to get a bottle and a case of beer to go out and enjoy Lake Vermilion. And our bartenders have to tell them that we're not allowed to sell it. And it's so frustrating on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of summer, and in fact the dead of winter. Just recently, the casino had a fun run for snowmobilers for the United Way. And I'll bet that day I had 50 people come in that Sunday and asked to buy offset. Well, obviously they weren't from Minnesota or they were visitors from elsewhere, but they were participating in that snowmobile run that drew a few thousand people. And as a bar owner, I hate seeing all the folks, the visitors, the tourists, if you will, come to Minnesota and not be able to enjoy what they probably enjoy at what I believe it's 40 states already sell Sunday packaged liquor. And I'm just here today, as most of you probably know here in the legislature, that they just sounded the layoffs for over 1,000 miners up where we are. And our economy is already strained. This would just be one little thing for a little more economic growth that could help our area.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson.
Thank you.
Folks, is there anybody else that wants to speak on the in-favor side of the bill? If not, we're going to go back to Representative Lilly and let him ask questions. So help me out here. Come on down, sir. Welcome to the committee.
Thanks for having me. My name is Ryan Freeman, and I'm a Minnesotan. Came here today because, I'm all for Sunday sales. I'm originally from Iowa, where you can buy liquor on Sundays. And I got to be honest, I'm not one that plans very far ahead. So Super Bowl Sunday, I always run out of beer, which is my own fault, I realize. But in Iowa, I could have someone go get more. I've heard some arguments against sales on Sunday, and I'm with these other guys. I don't understand them. You don't have to be open on Sunday if you don't want to. Hobby Lobby stays closed on Sunday. They're doing just fine. Fairway Food Stores closes on Sunday. They're doing just fine with all the other equal competition. Sorry, I'm not a very eloquent speaker, but...
Mr. Freeman, you're doing a good job.
I don't know. I just think there's a point where it should be up to the business, whether they're open on Sunday or Thanksgiving or Christmas. It should be their choice. I mean, alcohol doesn't get any more evil at 10 o'clock on Saturday night and go back to its good form Monday morning. It just doesn't happen. It stays the same. So I don't understand. The distributors don't have to deliver on the weekends if they don't want to. So those arguments, they're lost on me. I don't get it. I guess that's really...
Mr. Freeman, you started off on kind of a low note with the whole Iowa thing, but you did a nice job.
Hey, I moved here, isn't
that... You came back strong, absolutely. Nice job. Do we want... I don't see anybody else that wants to come down. Do we want to start with questions? Representative Lilly.
I'll wait
for that. Well, I think that's it for the proponents. Why don't we go ahead and take questions now, or if there aren't... Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe for staff, and I don't know if you can come up with this, but we heard from one of the testifiers that this is going to bring in $100 million more dollars per year in revenue. The latest revenue note I have estimates about $395,000. That's a long ways from $100 million. I don't know if any staff knows
actually
of any accurate numbers. I'm asking staff.
Mr. Chair, members, the fiscal note that you're referring to is outdated. The revenue and fiscal estimate was conceived several years ago and has not been updated to current thinking. In my last conversation with MMB on this, they basically said what they say about all bills of this ilk, which is if it is included in legislation that's moving, they'll do a new estimate.
Okay, so we don't know.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't believe it's changed that much. And then there's a Mr. Schmidt who's quoted in the paper, members of the Minnesota legislature who choose to vote with special interest groups. So if I vote with his side, He represents an association, so then I'd be voting for a special interest group. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Davids, that's something each individual legislator has to decide for himself or herself.
Okay, so I certainly wouldn't want to be with a special interest group.
Folks, that's what's known as not taking a position on an issue.
Okay. I'm very good at it. And my last thought was, did I hear Republicans say that this is a litmus test? Don't we usually say them for, like, abortion and gay marriage and things like that? This is a Republican litmus test? This issue, this vote? Did I hear that right, Mr. Chairman?
I'm not sure what you heard, Representative Davidson.
I don't know. I think I heard something like that. I couldn't quite figure that out.
Representative Swiedzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of a general question to maybe this would be the fiscal or to House staff, but it was mentioned talking about purchasing alcohol after 10 o'clock. Would the testifiers also want to just allow any time of day to purchase alcohol as well? Like, I mean, we kind of have some cutoffs. I know we have 10 o'clock or, you know, just kind of any time to do it too, or?
Mr. Erickson, do you want to handle that one? You don't have to. That? We can.
10 o'clock would be just the same as Monday through Saturday. 10 p.m. would be great. But anything would be a step forward.
Representative, thank you, Mr. Erickson. Representative Swiedzinski.
Would you support, you know, changing it from 10 o'clock to midnight or 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning or long off sale, sicker, you know, 24 hours a day?
No.
Mr. Erickson?
I wouldn't want to see alcohol be sold 24 hours a day, but just within the current realm of Minnesota state law that says 10 p.m., I would like to see it for at least Sunday sales, if not the 10 p.m., started out, you know, at, you know, till 6 p.m. If the deal is it's Sunday and you're supposed to be in church, if that makes it a little better, then so be it.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Representative Swiedzinski?
Thank you. It wouldn't have to be just be Sunday. I'm just saying, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Oh. Why not?
Well, where I'm from a town of 500 in northern Minnesota. And obviously in the summer and the good snowmobile months, it swells to large numbers. I mean, our 4th of July is sometimes estimated to be 20,000 people in Tower. On that day, well, that's a given day. It would be not a very good financial decision for me to be able to sell alcohol 24/7.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple of questions. I wanted to start with Mr. Osgo. Is that how you say your name?
Correct, yes.
Mr. Osgo, can you go over again the numbers that you have seen? We've had 16 states since 2002 that have gotten rid of their blue law and allow for Sunday sales. And if I remember correctly, I think you said that those states saw anywhere from a 4% to 7% increase in tax revenue for their states. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct, ma'am. We've had 16 states that have begun allowing Sunday sales since 2002, and they typically see about a 4% to 7% increase in their tax revenue. And if I could just comment, when our projections state that we would see an increase of $82 to about $115 million in retail sales, the actual tax revenue would be in the, I think it's the $11 to $15 million range. So it's not, the $115 million was the actual retail sales we're projecting, not the tax revenues.
Thank you, Mr. Osgo. Representative Anderson.
And Mr. Osgo, this might be out of your realm of expertise, but are there all various sizes of liquor stores in these states, and have they been able to maintain those different sized liquor stores in, say, Colorado and Oregon and Connecticut?
Mr. Osgo.
Yes, there certainly have been. You have small package stores that oftentimes are specialty stores. You have the large big box stores that people oftentimes fear. You have a wide variety of stores. It's a very large marketplace out there. There are a lot of business models, and they're all able to make Sunday sales work for them.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, thank you. Just one more question. This is for Mr. Erickson. I think if I heard you correctly, for you, what you're saying is it's up to each individual business owner to decide whether they want to be open on Sundays. But you had mentioned that you had a group of maybe 50 people on just one Sunday alone. Can you give me a ballpark figure of how many sales you think that you lost in that given Sunday or any other Sunday that you've had folks? Can you give me a ballpark figure of what you think that you have lost out in revenue for folks that wanted to come to your store on a Sunday? And I invite any of the other liquor stores that came, owners that were here earlier too, if you guys want to come down and give your feedback. I'd like to hear from Mr. Stodges, Mr. Wayne, I think it is, Mr. Harvey, if you guys have some details of what you estimate a loss in sales that you had for folks that wanted to come and purchase alcohol on Sundays.
Representative Anderson, I can only tell you that on any given Sunday when there's a ball game or something on, and if I'm bartending and we're sitting in there and a lot of the retired miners sit there and drink tap beer, and if it's a real robust Sunday and there's a lot of activity in tower, I mean, it's like a revolving door. And the kicker is none of them stop. Even though we're on sale, open, they don't want to sit at the bar. They want to be able to buy packaged liquor. If I had to guess, in the 52 Sundays, I would say on a good Sunday, 30 to 40 customers walk out. But on any normal Sunday, I'd say no less than a dozen people. And I'm talking about right now, where there's no recreation activities or very few on our lakes. As most of you know, we got 3 inches of snow this morning. So when I left Tower, it looked like a winter wonderland. I expected to see snowmobiles zooming around. But it's a typically real dead time for us. But people still, and I imagine that's with the state park and the Fortune Bay Resort and Casino, they find a reason to come up there, whether it's going to Ely to get mucklucks, whatever. And they stop in, and they think that they're going to get packaged liquor, and they're not.
So. And Mr. Chair, if any of the other liquor store owners that came to testify earlier, if you have any feedback on that, I'd be interested to know.
Mr. Alvey?
Thanks for the question. You know, just based on actual figures, Monday's our worst day of the week. Easily, I would happily trade Monday for Sunday. Average Monday, maybe we do $1,000. Guaranteed three or four times that on a Sunday. $4,000 or $5,000 a week, gone.
And thank that's you. Probably what you would do then. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Alvey. Representative Atkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May yield a minute to Mr. Hudson. He was waving as he came down. I thought he might... only a minute.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative. I just wanted to respond briefly to Representative Davidson's question regarding a litmus test. I assume that I didn't confuse him with thinking that I was referring to chemistry. I was, in fact, referring to the fact that Republican grassroots activists take time away from their families and involve themselves in the political process because they believe, amongst other things, that individual rights are sacred. And we expect that our right to self-determination will be honored by those who we send to these hallowed halls. That's the bottom line.
And Mr. Hudson, thank you. And we are in a funny business here. We generally get along pretty well, Democrats and Republicans, and then we go out and we campaign against each other. So it's a little bit strange. But I think both sides of the aisle, both the Democrats and the Republicans, think that we're sent here by our constituents for the right reasons. Whether you want to have a litmus test on any particular issue or not, I think all of the members at this table and the members of this body, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, all think they're doing the right thing for their constituents and for the state. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of to the point that Mr. Hudson raised, Representative Loon, I assume what your bill is talking about is opening liquor stores 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Is that right?
Representative Loon.
Mr. Chair and Representative Atkins, yes, both bills that I propose wouldn't change the hours that are in the current state statute, just the Sunday.
Representative Atkins.
So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Loon, then on the DE2 amendment, which is in the packet, amendments, it lifts all the restrictions, which would allow store owners to be open any hours. Is that something that you'd be supportive of?
Representative Atkins and Representative Loon, hang on. Is that, that must be under the 231, because
right.
I haven't found that yet. Just so members know what we're looking at here. That was the DE1?
DE2.
DE2, got it. That is under the House
Bill 231.
It's the one
with all the lines through any limitations and being open
got it.
Anytime.
Representative Loon, do you have a copy of the amendment?
I do, and it's the one to House Bill 231, so I'm looking at it.
That's right, correct.
Well, Representative Atkins, I mean, different members have different points of view on this. I personally would not be in favor of this, or what I would prefer actually combines my other bill, because municipalities have latitude over most other things to do with liquor and when it's sold in their community. So, you know, the state statute is 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., but municipalities have the ability to narrow that if they don't want liquor stores in their towns or their jurisdiction open that long and that. And so while I, you know, if you took this out of the state statute, I certainly think that would be an issue for the review of each city. I would want my city to have the ability to make those decisions.
Representative Atkins.
And somewhat along that, would you support then, should this sort of approach, kind of along the lines of what Mr. Hudson was talking about, should this apply to all products on Sundays? And I specifically would raise cars. Right now, that's another item that can't be sold on Sundays. If that amendment comes up, and I think it's also in the packet someplace, but would you support that, that would allow for car sales to be sold on Sundays?
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a specific position on that because I've focused on liquor, and that's the one that seems to have more interest, frankly, from consumers and from constituents that contact me. I've never had someone contact me asking to be able to buy a car on Sunday. You know, if I do, I may, you know, spend some time working on that issue.
Is it Representative Atkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it just struck me as you could literally replace alcohol or beer with cars in virtually all of the testifiers' comments. On the point of the municipal control, are you aware of any products that currently allow for municipal or local control?
Representative Loon.
Nothing that immediately springs to mind, Representative Atkins.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's kind of where I was curious about, because I couldn't come up with anything off the top of my head. But it just struck me that if we do that, then, you know, maybe there's other, and there's an amendment in the packet as well about fireworks, for example, or setting speed limits that would allow for local control with respect to those issues. Is that, are you along in terms of, are you a believer of in enough local control that it would apply to things like fireworks and that sort of thing as well if those were offered as an amendment on the House floor?
Representative Loon.
Well, I mean, you're posing a series of interesting questions, and I'll just ignore the germaneness issue, but, with regards to fireworks, I mean, a few years ago, the legislature, the House, actually did consider a bill and voted on a bill on fireworks, and I actually voted against that, and the primary reason was because my city would not be able to have ordinances that would put any kind of restrictions on that. And again, I think it depends a little bit on where you live on that particular issue. If you're in a suburban area with houses pretty close together, you may not appreciate your neighbor lighting off firecrackers at 11 o'clock at night when you just got your baby to bed. So I think those are important issues to consider.
I'm still trying to picture me picking up a car on a Sunday and bringing it out in the middle of Lake Vermilion this summer, but it's a whole different issue, I guess. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a handful of other questions, but I know you've got testifiers who also want to oppose or talk on the other side of the issue. So,
okay. Thank you, Representative Atkins. We have one final question, and then we're going to get to the opponents of the bill, the other side. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was this thought occurred to me at the time that Representative Anderson was asking her questions about lost sales revenue because of not being able to be open on Sundays. we have liquor laws in the state of Minnesota right now that allow Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. sales, but we have municipalities that will curb that 10 o'clock close to 8 o'clock, 7, 7:30, and the like. I guess my question would be, have they done any kind of an analysis to determine how many dollars of revenue they lost on days that their local municipalities are requiring them to close earlier than as a part of their determination? And then secondly, is that also something that local elected officials should be looking at from a liberty issue as well, or is that just something that the state level needs to be looking at because we want to have one more day added to the calendar, but it just doesn't matter at the local level how we regulate those sales because that's a local issue? I guess I'm just kind of curious to see if there's any feedback on that.
Representative Loon or Mr. Osgo or Mr. Erickson or anybody?
Well, I think, I don't know if Mr. Dacus wants to comment, because I know he's done sort of analysis on his store hours and determining when he wants to be open.
I've actually got some very specific experience with that, because I used to own a chain of three stores, which I sold recently. But in one of my stores, which was in Minneapolis, the law sunsetted, which allowed us to stay open until 10 p.m. We were forced to close at 8. We fought very strongly in facing these very same arguments. We immediately lost 15% of our business in the reduction in sales. After winning, successfully getting that sunsetted law back so we could remain open until 10, we gained that 15% back. So for us, and again, this wasn't the experience for all stores. Surdix in Minneapolis still closes at 9. That works for them. We chose to stay open until 10. It was great for us. In fact, some of our opponents came in after and said, yeah, it was great for us too. So.
Thank you, Mr. Dacus. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one follow-up question to that point. I guess if we're concerned about liquor sales and liquor being available to the population 7 days a week and the other, is there anyone who can talk about how those local efforts have been going to talk with the municipalities about doing the rollback that the testifier just talked about? I'm curious to see if we've got an update for the committee on that as well.
Anybody have a handle on that one? Mr. Osgo?
Well, there have been several states where, particularly Georgia most recently, where they go to a local option. And, yes, typically you will have a number of areas that are in favor of Sunday sales, generally larger metropolitan areas that will overwhelmingly vote in favor very quickly. And other areas where there's not a lot of interest, they choose not to. Ultimately, similar to the decision of whether or not if you should be open on Sundays is just a simple business decision for a liquor store. You know, if you have a local option sort of bill, then the municipality, the local citizens, have the opportunity to decide what's best for them.
Thank you, Mr. Osgo. Representative O'Driscoll.
I apologize, Mr. Chair, but I didn't quite get the feedback I was looking for. I'm wondering if those who are advocating today for expansion of liquor sales in the state of Minnesota to include Sunday have an update on how their efforts are going to try to work with those local municipalities to stay open until 10 o'clock, which the current law already provides. It would seem to me that that would be an easier effort than it would be to try to get an additional day added. And I'm assuming, since no one's rushing to the testifying table, that we don't have data or that's not something that's being pursued.
I think that's a safe assumption, Representative O'Driscoll. Representative Loon, did you want to comment?
I don't have any specific information on that, Representative O'Driscoll, but again, from the liquor store owners that I've talked to and some of the ones that have testified today, I don't know if an additional hour or two would be equivalent to being open on a weekend day such as Sunday in terms of their sales. So I would guess that probably isn't an effort that's going on because it's not something that they see as being incredibly economically important to their business.
Thank you. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess this question would be for Representative Loon. You know, I understand from the consumer's point of view and the desire to have access to purchase liquor on Sundays, but I struggle with the owners of the businesses. I mean, this is a highly regulated industry. Most of them entered into the business environment with these rules in place. And now they're coming forward and say, we don't like the rules that we entered into when we started or purchased our business, and so now we want to change it. So I just sort of struggle with the business component of it, because there is a structure in place. I mean, I don't think anybody forced people to purchase a bar. or a liquor store or force individuals to enter into the business that they entered into. They entered into it knowingly, and now we're trying to change the rules. And, you know, quite frankly, the argument around surrounding states is an interesting argument, but we have a patchwork of liquor laws throughout the whole United States. And we could say that, well, we should change our laws so that if you want to buy spirits, you have to go to a certain kind of store. And if you want to buy other types of alcohol, you go to a different kind of store. So if you could help me out about, you know, business owners and what's really driving the desire. Is it the desire is just a way to enhance their business and increase profits? Or if this is really about serving that customer demand that is out there?
Representative Lewis.
Well, you know, I think it's both. I think what you're hearing and what you'll probably hear is in the testifiers after is that you've heard from business owners who would like to be open on Sunday, and you'll maybe hear from some business owners who are not interested in changing the law. I guess the question is this a law that should be in place that makes the decision for all business owners, and is that reasonable? I happen to think that it's not reasonable that a business owner ought to have the ability to determine if they want to be open 7 days a week or not. And Representative Atkins, you know, referenced one other business that by state law is not allowed to be open. And so I think what you're hearing is some compelling testimony from small business owners who are saying they've done the analysis, they've talked to their customers, as Mr. Erickson pointed out, he's got people that come into his store because he's got both on sale and off sale, wondering why they can't buy on Sunday, and this is an economic reality for these people. Conditions on businesses change all the time. A lot of it comes from the hands of all of us sitting around this table. We change minimum wage laws, we change health insurance requirements that they have to follow, workers' comp, all kinds of conditions change that affect how a business owner operates all the time. And I think it's, I don't think it's fair to say, you know, this was put in place in the 1930s and always should be there.
And Representative Loon, thank you. And I think I long ago when I started doing this, my predecessor, Tom Workman, told me that these would be issues. And what I think we've seen happen, Representative Atkins and I and everybody on this committee, there are a lot of changes going on, and we do tinkering here and there. The basic laws that we have been around since the end of Prohibition, and you know, we're brought ideas a lot of times by constituents. I think times change and people's attitudes change a little bit, and it's up to all of us to decide what, I mean, selling liquor, selling beer or wine isn't the same as selling socks, and I think that's what we're here to talk about. At least I hope it's not the same as selling socks, but it is regulated, and it's one of those things that that's why we're here. We're here to talk about all the different ways that, you know, we might sell it, we might change the laws. You know, future legislatures are going to have the same or similar issues probably in perpetuity. And with that, why don't we get to the opponents of the bill? Ms. Kim Wilson is the first one we've got on the list. If you want to come on down, and while you're coming down, I see Representative Kahn is in the room. We are going to try to find time to have another liquor hearing sometime in the next week or so. Representative Kahn has an idea for lowering the drinking age in the state of Minnesota from 21 down to 18. And so we're probably going to talk about that issue as well. I don't know that that's going to pass, but it will be something that at least I think it's worth discussing. And Representative Dean and others, that changed in 1985 or 1986, and it might be time to revisit that issue. And with that, we'll go ahead. If you want to go ahead, identify yourself for the record, and please start when you're ready.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Kim Wilson. My husband and I own Oaks Wine and Spirits in Oak Park Heights, which is near Stillwater and the Wisconsin border. We've owned the store for 5 years. I work there full-time and also have 3 employees. We are the mom-and-pop store that people think of in this industry. We are also proud to be small business owners here. I'm also a member of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, an organization that represents about 900 local liquor stores, which are mostly small, family-owned liquor stores. On behalf of the MLBA and myself, we support our current smart and balanced alcohol regulations and do not support changing the long-established rules to allow for Sunday off-sale of alcohol. Representatives on this committee know that every industry is regulated. The liquor industry, controlled by the three-tiered system, is highly regulated for the benefit of society, consumers, and a level playing field for small businesses like mine. Minnesota is obviously doing something right. Under our current regulations, Minnesotans have alcohol prices below the national average, plentiful liquor stores, unprecedented product availability and consumer choice, thriving statewide craft beer and micro distillery industries, significantly lower than average rates of alcohol-related abuse and accidents, and small business owners like me who are able to compete on a level playing field with big box mega retailers. My husband and I do make business decisions based on the current set of alcohol regulations that we have. Changes in these rules, which like allowing the off-sale of alcohol on Sundays, tips the scales to help a few larger stores at the expense of many smaller stores like myself. In addition, we just heard from Sunday sales proponents a variety of economic arguments in favor of Sunday sales. I also have some economic arguments that will show you why so many of us in this industry oppose Sunday sales. The state of Colorado, they had previously, some stats were mentioned, but my stats are a little bit different. They did change to allow Sunday sales in 2008, and the tax data over that six-year period from 2008 to 2013 only shows an increase of sales of 2.33% annually, not the 6% that was stated before. And that 2.33% is really just the rate of inflation. That's the normal rate of inflation. So really, sales have not increased at all by opening Sunday sales in Colorado. Another result of Colorado passing Sunday sales is the reduction in the number of liquor stores that were open. In 2007, there was 1,679 small stores, and in 2013, there was 1,552, which is a loss of 127 small liquor stores because they opened on Sundays. Another stat we have is Indiana's Ball State University did a study in 2010, and they also found that permitting Sunday sales would reduce the number of retail store establishments by 8 to 10%. In closing, the legislator has overwhelmingly listened to the concerns of small businesses in the past and defeated attempts to change the rules. I hope members will continue to support local small businesses in their district and our current smart and balanced alcohol regulations. It works well for Minnesota.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. And just so you know, you made a lot of us very nervous. Whenever we hear anything about a Colorado new law and an amendment,
yeah.
We get a little scared. Thank you. Nice job. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and start when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Terry Furlong, owner of Furlong's Liquor in Oakdale, Minnesota for the past 28 years. I do not support deregulating Minnesota's alcohol laws and hope you agree that our current system works well for Minnesota. Unless alcohol consumption greatly increases, most liquor retailers, like myself, will see increased costs without increased revenue with Sunday sales. Purchases would simply be spread over 7 days. I'd also like to present an additional few arguments, particularly about alcohol. The impulse behind this change in law is generally expressed as we should treat alcohol like the majority of other consumer products. I disagree. And I don't think we want alcohol sales to be a free-for-all. Our current regulations are a fine balance between the desires of consumers and public health and public safety. Alcohol is a much different product than other consumer products, and overuse is a violation of the law. Minnesota regulates every aspect of how a liquor store operates, controls how liquor is sold, when it is sold, who it is sold to based on age and consumption, how it is delivered to a retailer, specialized insurance requirements, special higher taxes, etc. We have distinctive laws around the sale of beer kegs, rules around the time of sale on a person's 21st birthday, a law setting maximum alcohol content of 160 proof, and regulations around advertising. Moreover, we restrict where you can consume alcohol. You can't drink alcohol in a car, at a high school athletic event, or walking down the street. And obviously, there's a restriction on the days of the week alcohol is sold in retail stores. I think our current alcohol regulations are smart, balanced, and work well for Minnesota. And again, I do not support changes in deregulation in Sunday alcohol sales. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Furlong. Mr. Furlong, are you by any chance related to Tom Furlong, the recently retired mayor of Chanhassen?
I think we are related.
Ah, very
distant.
Nice.
Distant.
I'll come in and get him a T-shirt. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record. Start whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Burwell, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Like I said, my name is Steve Burwell. I operate a liquor store along with other family members in Roseville. We've been there for 30 years, Fairview Wine and Spirits. It's been a good ride for me there. We had a store in Crystal for 7 years prior to that, and I've seen a tremendous number of changes over the past 37 years. I remember back in, I think it was 1979 or 1980, that they extended the business hours for liquor stores to be able to stay open on Friday nights from 8 till 10 o'clock. And it was supposed to be a big boon for our industry and increased tax revenue, but it never did anything. It took that person that comes in at 8:15 or quarter to 8, 7:45 on Friday night, and now he's coming at 9:45. And that's all it ever did. And the same thing has happened, increasing our store hours from 9 or 10 o'clock on weekdays. It didn't do anything for business, really. It didn't increase revenue for us, and I'm sure that it didn't increase revenue for the state at that time. Currently, we're open, depending on the season, 75 to 80 hours a week. If we were to add another 6 hours a week to the schedule, say, for example, from noon till 6 p.m. on any Sunday, it would add about 312 hours to our annual work week, which ends up our annual work year. Yep. Staffing it with two people, keeping the air conditioning on, keeping the heat on in the building, and paying Social Security tax, increased workers' compensation, increasing salaries, it would be a financial hardship for our business as well as all the other small businesses in our area. Now, we're only located 2 blocks from Rosedale Shopping Center, one of the busiest shopping areas in the state of Minnesota. And staying open on Sunday, I just don't see it helping us at all. It's going to increase our costs. We stay open on holidays quite often, and it doesn't do anything for our business with the amount of traffic that we have in there around Roseville. So by staying open another 312 hours a week, it's like 8 40-hour work weeks that we have to cover. And I'm sorry, there just is not going to be enough revenue there to pay for it, and it'll cause a financial hardship. I had some other things that I wanted to say, but they've slipped my mind, but thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Burwell. Nice job. Mr. Hansen, I presume?
Yes. Mr. Chairman,
welcome to the committee.
My name's Mike Hansen. I own Ham Lake Liquors, and we've been in the business for 27 years. And I'm not a very polished speaker, so just bear with me.
You'll fit right in here, Mr. Hansen.
But 27 years ago, I was lucky enough to have a friend. I was driving forklift in a warehouse, and my best friend asked me if I wanted to get into the off-sale liquor business. And I thought, well, what the heck? I'm driving forklift in a warehouse. Might as well try something new. And I found out in my first year in the business that I was no business genius. So I had to rely on common sense. And that's basically how I make my business decisions. I've heard people talking about stores can opt out of Sunday if they want to. But I've always told my employees that you get one shot at a customer, and if you blow that, you lose that customer. And if we locked our doors on Sunday with everybody else open, we would lose those customers. That's common sense. The other that Tim touched on was the added costs. I'll probably have to hire two more part-timers and maybe an assistant manager, because we try to staff our store with three people and one has to be in management. And what I don't understand is, and maybe I'm wrong in that, but I look around the room, and for myself too, that by being open one more day of the week on Sunday, are you going to consume more alcohol? And that one I can't figure out. They throw around all these numbers and everything like that, but I've watched over 27 years customers' drinking habits and everything, and they're pretty steady, most of them. And so I just don't understand, is everybody going to start consuming more alcohol because we're open one more day? And if they don't, which I don't believe they will, my overhead has gone up, and my revenue is getting pinched tighter and tighter every because of big box stores and everything. But we know that. We're in business, and we have to compete. But the only thing I have control of is my payroll, and that's going to go up. So, and I just, you got to ask yourself, are people going to consume more alcohol? And I just, maybe some, but I don't believe a heck of a lot. So, but I appreciate you letting me testify here.
Mr. Hansen, you did a very nice job.
Thank you.
And you did so well. Representative Atkins has a question for you.
I wasn't ready for questions.
All right. Well, here we go.
Okay.
And I don't actually, Mr. Hansen, it may actually be for Representative Loon, because okay. It's a point that I hadn't heard before, and that is that it seems to me that if there's any additional revenue that's being talked about, it has to, as you said, rely on people consuming more alcohol.
Yes.
And to Representative Loon, is that what's anticipated? Is that this bill is about Minnesotans consuming more alcohol?
Representative Loon.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Well, not necessarily, but it is. If I have a friend who's very experienced in the retail industry and shared with me information. She doesn't work in the liquor industry, but worked for a significant retailer here in Minnesota, and all of the shopping trends that they track on consumers. And not only do they know that people spend more time when they shop on Sunday, they spend more when they shop on Sunday, and they spend more on discretionary purchases. And alcohol is one of those things. You'll buy probably as much milk as you need until you're going to go to the store next or whatever else of the staples. But, you know, you may spend a little more time looking around, and maybe you'll, if you're at the liquor store, you'll pick up a bottle of something maybe you want to try, or you haven't picked up when you're just running in to pick up the six-pack of beer or a bottle of wine. So, there is a lot of research out there in the consumer shopping world that indicates discretionary purchases of consumers go up on Sundays.
Representative Atkins?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Loon, I think you said both, if this revenue note is going to be believed, that means that the premise for this is that Minnesotans are going to consume more alcohol. And I think at the beginning you said, no, it wouldn't necessarily mean more alcohol. I'm just trying to figure out whether or not that's makes sense or not. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, explain to me how it doesn't. That was, I thought Mr. Hansen made an excellent point.
We might have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Oh, come on. I thought that'd be funnier. Tough crowd. Representative Atkins. Representative Loon, do you want to take that one?
Well, all I can say is, I don't know. It may. I mean, like I said, the gentleman who testified, running out of beer at Super Bowl Sunday, yes, in that case, they're going to run out to the store and get more beer, and they're probably going to drink it. Where they're not going to if you run out and you're done. So I think certainly there are instances, as like I said, I'm a wine drinker. If I have more time to shop, I may decide to pick up a bottle of wine I read about and haven't tried, and it may be something I wouldn't normally have purchased. Am I going to drink it? Yes, at some point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate Mr. Hansen's point. I mean, it bothers me a little bit to talk about, because there's no question that there'd have to be more people working on Sunday, two, maybe three, depending on the store. So there's absolutely no question that the expenses are going up. But it sounds like you're not terribly confident that alcohol consumption will go up. And to put a lot of these mom-and-pop businesses, and I get that it'd be more convenient for me and Representative Lilly, who tend to be those people that show up at 7:45 to buy, but that seems to be putting a lot at stake for something that may or may not, that you're not sure is going to happen.
Representative Loon.
Well, Mr. Representative Atkins, just to go back to some of the information that Mr. Osgo shared. I mean, from tracking states that have changed their laws on Sunday and looking at their revenue from their liquor sales, they are selling more. Now, whether people, I'm assuming they're drinking it or maybe they're giving it away. I mean, I guess I'm tracking very, very literally what you're saying. But sales do go up in those states that have changed their laws on Sunday. That, if you go to the revenue departments of those states over the past, since 2002, that have changed their laws, that is in, that's a fact.
Representative Atkins?
Mr. Chair, it's sort of a moving target.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Mr. Hansen, it's been mentioned throughout the testimony that this is a highly regulated industry, the sale of liquor, and I don't know, are there inspectors that come into the stores and check on your sales and your inventory, that type of thing? And those would be state employees that do that. Would they be required to come in on Sunday and regulate your business and monitor your business as well?
There aren't.
On Sunday?
Mr. Hansen?
There aren't inspectors that come into our store to check our inventory and that. I mean, we get it audited, you know, sales tax audits and everything like that. And the cities run stings on us to see if we're complying with the underage drinking. So as far as an actual person inspecting the store, actually, I guess we do. I lose track because it sometimes changes, and I can't give you the facts on that. So I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
Good question.
Thank you, yeah. Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, these hidden expenses of doing this an additional.
Someone else in the audience might know better than me, actually.
I'd like to hear it from someone.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there's anybody that wants to speak to that, I think if your liquor store is in Ham Lake?
Yes.
I think if Ham Lake is running stings now, it might be likely that the police department or county sheriff or whoever it is might do it on Sundays just to...
The county. County does, yeah. And the cities do it too, Blaine.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Okay.
I think nice job with the questions, by the way. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Scott Neal. I'm the city manager in Edina. We are a municipal liquor city. We have three stores in our operation. We're also a member of the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association with 200-plus other cities in the state of Minnesota. Our liquor operation in Edina was established first as a private operation in 1934, immediately after it became legal by the state legislature. It was it was made into a municipal operation by a vote of the people in Edina by a margin of 4-1 in 1948. And if you go back and you look at some of the information present in the newspapers and the accounts of the time, there were really two big reasons why the residents of Edina voted to have a municipal liquor operation. One was they felt like the private liquor operation at the time was getting too involved in local politics. Prohibition and some of the concerns that caused prohibition weren't gone so long at that point. There was concern that they didn't want to see that come back. But clearly, one of the other driving forces at that time was municipal revenue, and specifically tax relief. That is what we use the profits, the net revenues of our municipal liquor operation for in our community. We use it to provide tax relief to our residents. We use it to provide operating subsidies for some of the popular recreation amenities that are used not only by our residents, but by residents all over the Twin Cities. We see no credible evidence from anyone, actually, that we will experience any increase in sales that will be sufficient to cover the increase in operating costs that we will experience because of Sunday sales. I've been looking for that. I don't see it in the Colorado examples. I don't see it in the Connecticut examples. I'm looking for that, particularly from a neutral third party who could tell us what that might look like. I think the money aspect of this is important to our city. It's important to our residents. And our residents have a strange dynamic when it comes to municipal liquor in that they're both customers of our operations and shareholders of our operations. So we really do have an important fiduciary responsibility as city staff to make sure we are running our operations as effectively and efficiently and creating as much net revenue for our city as we can. That's what we're trying to do, and we believe the Sunday sales bill distracts us from that goal. And that's what I'd like to share with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Reynoso, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Edward Reynoso. I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32. We represent in excess of 62,000 active and retired members in the state of Minnesota, of which approximately 850 are employed in various positions in the liquor industry. Teamster members manufacture it, we transport it, warehouse it, distribute it, and in some cases, Teamsters sell it at municipal liquor stores. I appreciate the opportunity to convey my organization's strong opposition to House Files 231 and 1239. First, let me revisit selling beer growlers on Sundays. In recent weeks, I testified in front of this committee that we opposed any expansion of Sunday off sale, which included growlers. We've been able to work out this issue with this particular employer, which provided us some clarity on the issue. We currently do not oppose the sale of growlers on Sundays. With that said, our position on full Sunday off sale at liquor stores remains the same. We're strongly opposed for the following reasons. First, we currently have 17 collective bargaining agreements that each have a varying degree of reopening clause in the event that there's any change to the Sunday liquor sales in Minnesota. We believe that triggering this clause would be problematic and could potentially cause some labor disputes within the industry itself. Second, we believe that the impact to retailers and municipal liquor stores where we have Teamster employees could be substantially negative, which in turn could cost employees jobs and increase taxes, which would impact many of our communities. Last, to allow for a municipal option is even worse than full repeal. This option would create winners and losers. I'd like to remind this body just a few years ago when it was legal to smoke in some bars, but not in others, based solely on where these businesses were located. Many businesses, small businesses across our state, were really impacted negatively from this. On a final note, I'd really like to thank Representative Loon for her consideration and professionalism. While Representative Loon and I have had conversations regarding banning the delivery of alcohol on Sundays, after consultation with our legal counsel and many others within the industry, we don't believe that it would be legal under federal law and would likely be challenged before the ink dried on the governor's signature. We will have to agree to disagree on this issue. With that, again, I thank you. I thank you for your time. And I'm happy to stand for any questions this body may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynoso. Is Mr. Gary Bice here? Not seeing him run down. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this side of the issue of being opposed to these bills? I want to thank everybody that testified, both for and against. Everyone did a very nice job. Really, a lot of different points were raised, and everybody did a really good job of staying within time limits. And speaking for the whole committee, we appreciate that. Why don't we open it up to member questions? And anybody? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple questions for the different liquor store owners that we had, Ms. Wilson and Mr. Furlong and Mr. Burwell, if you would come forward. I'll start with Ms. Wilson. Can you tell me what is your worst day of profits out of the week that you have, that you're open? I assume you're open 6 days a week.
We are, yes.
What day of the week is your worst day for profit?
Ms. Wilson.
Possibly a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Wilson, if you were able to swap out that Tuesday or Wednesday so that you could be open on a full weekend, how would that change things for you?
Ms. Wilson.
That would be interesting. I guess I'd want to see how, you know, if any other states had done that and how that worked for them, closing midweek yet being open on the weekends. I'm not really sure how that would play out. I think that'd be too, maybe a little too bit too confusing for consumers.
And Mr. Chair, so if we took a survey of the liquor store owners and we figured out maybe it was Monday, maybe it was Tuesday, and we said that's the day that no one is allowed to be open, would you be opposed to that at all?
Ms. Wilson.
I'd be open to hearing about, you know, the benefits and the and what would work or not work with that. That's an interesting, I don't know that that's ever been brought up, so yeah, we'd have to look at that.
Okay.
Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, for Mr. Furlong, you had talked about how alcohol is a very regulated industry. We say who can have it, we say when they can have it, and all that good stuff. Would you support then banning the sale of cigarettes on Sundays?
Mr. Furlong.
Another good question. You know, cigarettes in and of itself, I think, is going towards that, a total ban. You know, what we've seen in the industry, it actually costs us more money for a cigarette license than it is for our liquor license. So I think the municipalities are kind of gearing towards trying to ban that.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
And Mr. Chair, for Mr. Burwell, you had talked about how when they initially went to the longer hours that you didn't see a profit. Would you advocate for going back and decreasing the hours that you're allowed to be open? So instead of it being from 8 to 10, being from 8 to 8?
Mr. Burwell. No, I guess I wouldn't advocate turning the clock back. If everybody was on board for those hours, I wouldn't mind working in, you know, fewer hours, 10 hours less a week than I do right now, but I just don't think anything like that would ever happen. So, no, I would. No, I would not be.
Thank you,
favor.
Mr. Burwell. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, for all three of you, if we had the fellow from Edina who runs the municipal liquor store in Edina. One of the topics of conversation that we've had at the legislature in years past is, should municipal liquor stores be competing with privately owned liquor stores? And I'd like to know, what are your guys' thoughts on that issue?
Anybody want to jump into that one first?
Ms. Wilson and Mr. Furwell and or Furlong.
Mr. Burwell? I'm very fine with municipal liquor operations, and they serve a purpose in the state of Minnesota. I'm a product of Roseville Municipal Liquors, which is, of course, no longer around. They started there in 1971, and as a liquor operation there, contributed a lot to the community. And in 1983, we changed and got rid of the munis, and it was determined at that time to issue up to 10 liquor licenses, which we currently have in Roseville. But I've got no problem with municipal liquor operations, and I don't think that... I'm not one of those that says that they should, that the government has no business competing with the private sector. I knew that the government was in there when we got into business, and I'm fine with it.
Okay, Ms. Wilson or Mr. Furlong, any comments to that at all?
I think I agree that, you know, the cities that did vote to allow municipal liquor stores, it serves a purpose for those cities, and that's what the citizens of those communities want, so that's fine.
So that competition, it works for you guys. You're okay with that competition. Okay, great.
We don't have any rules.
And just, Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Representative Loon for pushing forward on this piece of legislation. I think if you see the people here that are in this room, I'm impressed by both sides and your participation in the legislative process. It is very valuable. It helps us as decision makers for the state to figure out what is the right process to go. I have to tell you, though, I thank everyone for sending the emails that I received. You can stop. it's a little overwhelming, but I appreciate that. It's great to have that kind of participation. I wish all of you participated on all of the issues that we discussed to that degree. But I just want to thank Representative Loon for championing this issue that I think is important. I think that we see from constituents that this is something that they want as consumers, as liquor store owners, although I understand that you guys are opposed to it, but I just want to thank you for doing this bill.
Well said, Representative Anderson. Mr. Furlong and Ms. Wilson and Mr. Burwell, thank you all. You did a nice job under this crossfire. Representative Cresha, hang on, Mr. Burwell. I think Representative Cresha has a question.
And
sorry
about
that.
Yes, I'm sorry, I wasn't quick enough. I was so engrossed by Representative Anderson's questions.
Representative Kreisha, do you have a bill up in her committee or anything?
I have two. And Representative Loon is the chair of the committee I sit on, so I have to be very careful today. But many perspectives you heard today and both sides, and there's just a lot around this argument. But one of the things that I want to ask you and just comment on, it's a constituent that couldn't be down here because he's actually working today, and his name is Dave, and he works at the liquor store that I go to once in a while when I get back. And every time I talk to him, his wife, by the way, is the fourth grade teacher to my kids, and so I know the family very well. And my daughters babysit his kids. And when I go in there, one of the things that he always reminds me is, please don't vote for Sunday sales. And I say, well, why is that? And he says, Sunday's the day that I get with my family. Sunday's the day that I get with my kids. And I think a lot about the things that we can and can't do as business owners, and the things that small business owners can't provide as benefits. And so my question to you is this one of the perks for some of your employees? Is this seen as that? And that's perfectly acceptable, I think, if it is. I just want to hear from you because sometimes we can't always do everything with a spreadsheet and ones and zeros, but there's other things we can do. So if you could speak to that, at least then I can go back and tell Dave that I brought it up in committee.
Mr. Furlong, do you want to?
I think for myself, personally, you know, this model that I started 28 years ago was based on what we have in place right now. And working those 6 days a week with my family, you know, my family time is Sunday. But, you know, 28 years ago, I made the decision to work those 6 days, and, you know, it became part of my life, or my business is that Monday through Saturday. So that Sunday is nice for me to have that one day off, personally.
I feel the same way. I don't have children, but you know, all of our friends and family know that they can reach us on Sundays. We are free. We're not working. So, yeah, it is a nice perk to have this law in place for that reason and for many other reasons as well. But reasons.
Mr. Burwell, if you want to weigh in, feel free.
Yeah, you know, we hear so much about family values and the importance of family, and with all the retail sales going on, and we've heard how much. You know, how important retail sales are today on Sundays in general. But as far as I'm concerned, I wish everybody would close on Sunday. I really, really feel that way. You know, when Mom has to go to work up at Rosedale Shopping Center, or Dad has to go in on Sunday afternoon to do his job, it's the one day a week that I get to spend with my wife. Oftentimes I get home late in the evening. We rarely have supper together. And when our kids were growing up, we didn't have supper together, and now they're grown and gone, of course, but family is very important to us, and I think that having that one day off on Sunday is our only our only deal. Huh?
Representative Kreisha.
And thank you for that. And as I think through this in the balance sheet of everything, Representative Atkins brought up that perhaps consumption may have to go up, but I wonder if the offset to that is time with family, would that go down? And so these are just questions that I ponder, and I thank you for your responses. I still don't know how I'm going to vote.
Thank you. Representative Lilly has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, it's a tough issue to deal with. I'm looking at all this fancy stuff that I've got on our desk, and, you know, I kind of grew up in a printing business, so I know this is, you know, pretty nice stuff. I don't know, paper quality is, you know, really good, so it's not cheap. But when I look at the folks at the table, and I happen to know one of them really well, you know, and I think I mentioned this on another bill that we had before our committee about, and I think Representative Kreisha just kind of nailed it. It's, you know, these folks are local businesses, and they're involved in our community, and not just the one day off. I know this particular member is on a city council. He's involved extensively in the Knights of Columbus, just endless community stuff. And I leaned over to Joe Atkins. I said, well, who can beat you in the race, you know, for this office down here? I said, well, the guy at the table is the one guy that could beat me.
We should talk after the hearing.
So, He's amazing, and I actually told Representative Atkins that I would vote for him. And
I would too.
So I'm sure there's some others too as well. But and hats off to what he does for our community. And on top of that, he's even an East Wind. And I don't know if you know how special those are in the East Metro and the St. Paul area, but the but these folks are involved. And you know, I go back to this, you know, this fancy stuff, and you know, you know, these folks are in our community, and they're the smaller businesses. You know, I happen to work for a mega company, and so I appreciate them as well. But I know these folks volunteer, and their commitment to our communities are real. So thank you for the opportunity to say something. But
thank you, Representative Lilly. Members, any other questions?
Just one.
Representative Atkins.
These are apparently pro-Sunday sales. It says whynotsundays.org, whynotsundays.org, Sunday alcohol. The Minnesota Consumers First Alliance. Who is that? Is that, I assume it's not, you guys are running liquor stores. I get that. It's not you. But is there somebody that is the Minnesota Consumers First Alliance?
Anybody, Representative Loon, do you know who that is? Anybody?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids?
I think it's owned by the Koch brothers. Pretty sure.
Representative Loon, do you want to comment on that?
You know who that is?
Well, no, other than, you know, the people testifying in favor of removing the ban on Sunday sales, whatever they're calling themselves, it's part of that effort.
Well, and
Representative Atkins.
And Mr. Schmidt made that comment about a vote for or a vote against Sunday sales is a vote for special interest or something, I think is what Representative Davids, that article said. I mean, this is pretty fancy stuff, and I don't know who's paying for Minnesota Consumers First Alliance. I pulled them up here. They're not registered with the Campaign Finance Board, but they're apparently doing some lobbying. And I'm just curious who's, you know, and I get there's the MLBA, that's the licensed beverage. I see Ms. Burwell's got a badge or a sticker that represents the mom and pop liquor stores and others. But I think both sides seem to be pretty well represented here. That email campaign that Representative Anderson, I'm with you, by the way, sir. I've got enough. I've read all of them thoroughly, but that's a pretty organized effort that costs a lot of money to put out. So I suspect that both teams are pretty well represented. But if anybody wants to take credit for this Minnesota Consumers First Alliance, I'd be interested to visit with you, because I do think you got to actually register as a lobbyist in order to do this stuff. But anyway, that's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Do you have any questions about anything in your packet? Anything else you want to bring up?
No, sir.
Okay. Members, any other questions? Representative Swidzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, just kind of looking out in the crowd there, I know there's a lot of folks that weren't able to come up or maybe represent. You know, if you feel inclined, just it'd be interesting to see kind of where the crowd is out. There's a lot of buttons. There's a lot of folks that are for and against. If you just want to raise hands, if you're for and against, and do that sort of thing. No, just to kind of see where you're all from. So you don't have to if you don't want to, but appreciate it. Thanks.
Members can raise their hands too, right?
We're not seeing a lot of enthusiasm for Representative Swidzinski's plan. I will say to the folks up there that we're talking about family time, my dad sold pallet rack and shelving materials handling equipment, and as a teenager, I found myself in a turkey plant blast freezer 30 feet up in the air dismantling pallet rack, and my dad said that was family time, so I didn't really believe him at the time.
But rock picking.
Yeah, rock picking was good.
Corn detest.
Yeah, that does explain a lot. I want to thank all of you that are up there, the people that testified for and against. It was really interesting, I think, for all of us to hear from all of you, whether you're in favor or against. We had small business owners in favor of it. We had small business owners against it. I think we heard a pretty divergent number of opinions today on the bill, and I appreciate it. Everyone was respectful and timely. I think all of us up here learned a lot about the issue. And with that, Representative Loon will give you the final word.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I truly want to extend my sincere thanks to you. You didn't have to do this hearing, and you did, and I very much appreciate it. I appreciate all of the testimony, whether you agreed with me or not. I appreciated your perspective, and I just wanted to share a couple of things. That, the last kind of banter about, you know, working 7 days a week. I grew up on a small dairy farm in South Dakota where, you know, you milk the cows twice a day, 7 days
Wait
a week.
Minute. This was going really well.
Sorry.
First Iowa,
sorry
now
to
it's
mention
South Dakota.
A neighboring state. So I respect very much family time, and I respect these small business owners so much because I know that you have to work hard every day to keep your business afloat and to serve your customers. But I would just point out we also heard from some other small business owners from, you know, Tower, Minnesota to locals who would like the opportunity to be open because they feel that it's important to their bottom line and to their customers. So this is not such an easy cut and dried issue, and I appreciate the committee wrestling with these important things. It is not my goal to say that every small business who sells liquor and is in the liquor package store industry has to be open on Sunday. I would never say that you need to do that. Just to give the opportunity for those who do and feel it's an important part of their business model, that opportunity. Representative Atkins, I didn't fully answer your question, or there was a detail I neglected on the consumption of alcohol going up or not. Just bear in mind that all of the states that border Minnesota do sell alcohol on Sundays, and there's been a number of stories in the press, and you see it on the news where the parking lots are full of Minnesota plates. So that consumption and that purchase is happening. It's just not happening in Minnesota on Sundays. So that is another important thing to keep in mind. So with that, I just want to thank the members for their thoughtful consideration, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Representative Loon. And I almost forgot, we are generally not in this committee hearing room. We're usually down in the basement, and we're almost never televised. So thank you to everybody who's watching at home, in addition to the people that, no, I've heard from some people. But thank you to everybody here. Thank you, members, for your questions and comments. And with that, we are adjourned.